All right, praise God. You're welcome to the Influence of the Spirit Weekly. We've been having an amazing time, all right, and today will not in any way be different. Praise God. So could we just get ourselves ready? Thank you, Father. We give you praise. It's been wonderful. It's been glorious, and we know that it can only get better and better and better. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. So this, it's always wonderful. Thanks for always tuning in. Thanks for joining in. Thanks for being there so that I could bring God's word to every one of us. And I know that we're always just going to get blessed. So last week, we began talking about how to increase our spiritual sensitivity. All right. So that now is still under the topic, or maybe I'll say subtopic, of us dealing, you know, with perfect timings and perfect events, which of course still is talking about the adventures of and with the Holy Ghost. Now, what are adventures with the Holy Ghost? It's us knowing that the world we live in, or right, the only way to succeed, the only way to excel, is when we function by the Spirit of God. Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I do not go away, the Comforter will not come. So he said, I'll pray the Father. He will send you another Comforter. So the Holy Ghost is here to help us. So our lives now are lives of adventures, adventures with the Holy Ghost. So him leading us step by step. And I love the fact that you are here. All right, so that together we could have the supernatural adventures together. It's amazing. In John chapter 3 and the 8th verse of John chapter 3, Jesus said, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it's coming from or where it's going. So is everyone born of the Spirit? So people could pick, all right, the impact of our lives. They could pick the effect of our movements, but they can't trace. Nobody can box us. Someone says, is that really so? Yeah, because even 1 Corinthians chapter 2, all right, and the 15th verse, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 15 says, he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of nobody. So welcome once again to the Adventures with the Holy Ghost, all right, to our Influence of the Spirit Weekly. We're learning how to increase spiritual, all right, effectiveness, spiritual awareness, and spiritual sensitivity. Praise God. So we ended last, you know, weekend talking about three major things we need to do. Number one, spend time praying a lot in tongues. Number two, renew your mind with God's word. And then number three, association. So we're going to talk a little bit about them today, but major on association, which is the third point. All right, so number one is praying in the Holy Ghost. Why should I pray in tongues? We said from 1 Corinthians 14, and the second verse, Paul speaking says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him, but in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. He speaks hidden truth. He speaks secret things. So we speak from the heart of God. We speak deep things. So when you and I spend a lot of time praying in tongues, it helps to fine tune our spiritual awareness. And we need that. I'll still come back to this because there are two characters I would want to talk about. And then we'll see that effectiveness, all right, in their lives, all right? So there's that importance, all right, in learning to talk a lot in tongues. Or maybe I should say this. Learn to create the right spiritual environment around yourself. Just learn to create the right spiritual environment around yourself. Talking in tongues helps you do that. Meditating on God's word helps you do that. Creating an atmosphere of praise and worship around you helps you do that. Building an environment of joy, all right? The love and the joy of God around you helps you do that. So that environment, it helps you because very many times we want to flow in spiritual things and then we want to do it still being carnal. They don't mix. Now, is it possible to be carnal and then to operate in the gifts of the Spirit? Yes. We find in 1 Corinthians, all right, chapter 1, Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, all right, and says to them, they come behind in no gift. All right, 1 Corinthians, he called them saints. All right, they are the people of God. They are separated. All right, they are holy people. And he said they came behind in no gift. They were endued with spiritual gift. They had so much utterance and gifts of spirit flowing. All right, so that, chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians lets you be like, oh my goodness, what a loaded church. Then get to the third chapter, all right, and Paul begins to say that I would love to talk to you as unto spiritual, but I can't. Right now, I can only talk to you as unto, all right, carnal, all right. Carnal there means to be led by flesh, to be, you know, to live by the flesh. Carnal, all right, carnivores, all right. So Paul says, you guys are carnal, all right. I can't speak to you as unto spiritual. There's envy, there's strife, there's so much stuff going on amongst you. They're like, seriously? Yeah, seriously. I mean, the same church, all right, had a lot of atrocities happen. Paul had to address a whole lot of stuff in the Corinthian church, if you read 1 Corinthians. So you find out that it's possible, all right, to be loaded with the gifts of the Spirit and still be carnal. But I'm talking about ideal spiritual sensitivity. Not where you're just after gifts and then just get excited operating with the gifts. But when you and the giver of the gift enjoy a communion such that the flow of him through you is born out of the sweetness of the communion and the intimacy of it, not just out of, hey, I also want to flow in gifts of the Spirit. I just happen to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. No, God doesn't just want gifts to flow through you. He loves the intimacy. He loves the relationship. He loves that union. And that's what we're dealing with. So increasing spiritual sensitivity. So we mentioned three things again last week. All right. Number one is pray a lot. Create, or like I just said now, expanded it. All right. Create around you spiritual environment, a strong spiritual environment of prayer, worship. You're right. Meditating on God's word and all. So number two, you renew your mind. Reason is this. When you pick something from the Spirit of God, what the Spirit of God says to you is it's pure. It's unadulterated. It's beautiful. That's the Holy Ghost saying something to you. But then at the point of interpretation, our interpretation is usually influenced and affected by our knowledge, revelation, background. I mean, the things we have in our minds. So the more our minds are renewed with the Word of God, the more our minds are aligned with the thoughts of God, all right, that much would we be able to better interpret what God is saying. That much would we be able to better flow with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So I said we'll look at two characters, and there's a third one before we're done today. And then the two characters, all right, Peter and then Paul. So I'm picking from the NLT, Acts chapter 10. We read Acts chapter 10, all right, but just allow me, let's do Acts chapter 10 again. So Peter, we find Peter, okay, the holy angel showed up and, you know, was asked to send men to Joppa, all right, to reach out to Peter so Peter could come show him the word. And then, hey, so something interesting begins to happen. So Acts chapter 10 from the 9th verse of Acts 10. So Bible says the next day, I'm reading the NLT, the next day as Cornelius's messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the, you know, on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon. And he was hungry, but while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open, something like a large sheet, all right, was let down by its four corners, and the sheet, you know, had all sorts of animals, reptiles and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." "No, Lord," Peter declared, "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure or unclean." But the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." The same vision was repeated three times. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. So find Peter now being granted a trance, all right? And then he sees something in the trance and the Holy Ghost begins to speak to him. And Peter's background kicks in. Peter's Jewish knowledge, Peter's understanding of the law comes into play. And that happens when God deals with us. That happens when we receive revelations from the Spirit of God. All right. So we're talking about spiritual sensitivity. So first is Peter was in a position to have received the trance or fall into a trance or received the vision. All right. Now, God might want to sometimes communicate that to us. We might need to be in place or be sensitive enough to receive. But the story doesn't end with Peter just falling into a trance. All right. So we see now verse 17 that Peter was perplexed. All right. What could this vision mean? Just then, about the same time, the men, you know, from Cornelius found the house. They're standing outside the gate. They asked if a man named Simon Peter was in the house. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, "Three men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I have sent them." Now, one thing you and I have got to understand is this. Peter sees a vision. Now, the vision goes against what Peter understands in the law, but the vision, like I said last week, does not go against what God had revealed to Abraham, which was, "In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Peter needed to be open, you know, and Peter now is being used by God to go speak a word to Gentiles. Peter is going to minister the gospel to Gentiles. That is something no one had ever done up until this time. Now, yes, we find Paul the apostle being raised by God, and then Paul has a ministry to Gentiles. But up until this time, don't forget, all these men had to do was stay in Jerusalem and preach to Jews until there was a persecution which scattered everybody abroad. But Peter and the rest of the key guys still remained in Jerusalem. So everybody was still careful to talk to the Gentiles. Even those that were scattered, just a few of them, but most of them still going about, you know, in the scattering, or, you know, we're still trying to look for Jewish people to talk to. I'm saying this because sometimes God speaks to you and then you're like, okay, so God told me something and it's familiar. I can trace to something I know God told somebody. Guys, there are times that God says something to you and you can't find anybody that God has told the same thing. Now, maybe nobody in that form or vision or fashion. All right, so God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, get out of your country, your kindred, your father's house, to a land I'll show you. Man, 75 years of age, his wife, 65 years of age, move again, where? And then imagine someone, 75, saying, I'm moving, and God says, I mean, people say, where? I don't know. God said, when I get there. I mean, you sound dumb. You sound crazy. And many of us don't like to sound crazy. Many of us don't like to sound dumb. But may I say to you, please, if you want to sincerely be led by this, if you want to walk with God at those intimate levels and those deep sides, you've got to be willing to be misunderstood. You've got to be willing to feel alone certain times. You've got to be willing for people to name you names. All right, they'll call you stupid. They call you zealous. They call you irresponsible. How could he just move his whole family and then relocate, you know, and leave the city and go to a town and say it was God? How could he, you know, have to resign his job? He was already being, you know, prepped to be a manager. How? And then people say all sorts about you, but you've got to understand, all right, the leadings of God, you know, the beatings of God, and then the directions of God for your life. So we find Peter now, thank God for sensitivity. He knew the voice of the Spirit. And then he knew that this person talking to me, though it goes against the Jewish code, but this is the voice of the Spirit of God. Now, this is a journey, all right? So maybe you're here, all right, watching or listening, and it's your first time, or you're just new in being able to hear from God. Don't fret, all right? It's a journey. Let's roll on that journey together. But while I'm at it, let me quickly recommend the material by Kenneth Hagin. It's titled, How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God. That book has helped very many people, helped me growing up as a Christian. That book will help you also, all right, to understand better how to be led by the Spirit of God. It's just important, all right, that we get this, all right? I could also recommend for you Reverend Keith Moore's material, all right, Spirit-Led Life, 20 messages. You could find them on his website, all right? Just go to More Life Ministry. More will be M-O-O-R-E, More Life, all right? MoreLife.org. Just search for it and then just look for, all right, free downloads or something on the site. These are materials that will help, because being led by the Spirit, once we get this game, it is very, very helpful, all right? You could, yes, I mean, yeah, you know, just get those materials, start off. I have a couple I would recommend, but I'll do that as we move on, but get those. They are super classic, all right? I'm saying this because there's so much sensitivity. So Peter was able to pick a direction that is not a new direction. I mean, that is a new direction that is, you know, a road nobody has gone. You can't say, well, so God is leading me this way, the way God led that person that way. Nobody has been led like this before. All right, so let's go to Acts now. And then we see two things play out. Peter is sensitive, and then Peter was able to have his mind renewed or pliable or flexible. So we find Acts, all right, chapter 16 from the 6th verse. Acts 16 from 6th verse. Acts 16 and 6. All right, it says, next, Paul and Silas traveled through, all right, the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Ghost had prevented them. Watch this. They traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia. Because the Holy Ghost had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time, all right? Then, okay, coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So they wanted to go one place, the Holy Ghost says no. They want to go somewhere else, the Holy Ghost says no. So instead, they went on through Mysia, all right, to the seaport of Troas. Verse 9. That night Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided, based on the vision that Paul saw, we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the gospel there. So we've looked at Peter as a case in point. Now look at Paul as a case in point. Peter sees a vision. The vision seems to go contrary to the Jewish custom. And then the Holy Ghost, because he knows the voice of the Spirit, Holy Ghost says to him, men are looking for you. And then Peter obviously now understands the vision I saw, all right, about me going against the Jewish custom is God saying I'm about to go against our own thinking, meaning I'm sending you to the Gentiles and you're going to speak to the Gentile people. So we see that. Now we see Paul. He's going to preach. Don't forget, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. So I'm supposed to go to all the world. But while you're trying to go to all the world, God might have which part of the world he doesn't want you to go to yet. And then he might have the part of the world he wants you to go to. You know, very many believers, I grew up, you know, with materials of men like Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland. All right. And then you hear Kenneth Copeland say that many believers get a job, all right, in a city. All right. Even get a house. All right. And then look for a church. All right. Maybe near the house. And I know maybe you're listening to me and yeah, my church is near my house. All right. Fantastic. But there could be something higher than that. Copeland will tell you that when you get to a city, you don't just look for a house. All right. You look for a church. Then you find the house near the church. Did you get that switch? Because a spiritual has a place. Must be given prime importance in your life. So Reverend Copeland will tell you, get a church. When God moves you to a city, or when your job moves you to a city, you get there, thank you, Father. Oh, where would you have me feed spiritually? Where would you have me get planted spiritually? Where would you have me serve? And then you pray it out. You get a direction. All right, so, you know, many times, you know, we might now have to move to a new city. And then maybe you get a job and now I know, you know, you might just not get a city and say, I'm looking for a house. You might need to get Airbnb. You might need to maybe what? There's a hotel accommodation made available for you. So I understand that, or you even eventually got a house. Don't now say, well, this is my house. I'm going to look for a church around my house. I know there are lots of churches around your house, but ask, because where you're fed, listen, very many of us, especially ladies, you don't like anybody touching your hair. You have a particular beauty salon you want to go to. All right. Nobody just messes up with your hair anyhow. You have somewhere specific. Some of you, you know where you like to eat. You have your particular restaurant. You have, you know, you have specifics about your hair, specifics about your body, specifics about the cream you want to use, specifics about who makes your clothes, specifics about the designers you wear. So wouldn't it be awkward? All right. That we've given so much prime attention now to being careful as to who touches our hair, who touches our clothes, who touches our body, all right, which dentist you go to, which doctor you know you roll with. And then we don't care who touches our spirit. You say, you know, you ask some believers, who do you fear from? Well, just anybody. I just turn on the TV and get blessed. Come on. Come on. What church do you go to? Well, I just got there and found one close to my house. Even if you eventually found a church close to yours and you had to settle in the city for a while, ask God, is this the place of my planting? Is this where you have me be? Because God puts us in families. He puts us in churches, in places, so that you can understand where to receive spiritual nourishment, where to get blessed, where to get fed. Are you understanding this? Because the place of your nourishment is vital. So back in the case in point of Paul, you know, Jesus, Paul could have argued with the Holy Ghost and said, listen, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I've been busy doing that, so I'm going to keep going. But scripture says the Holy Ghost did not allow them. All right. The sixth verse started by saying, or I'm using the NLT, that the Holy Spirit prevented them. Okay. And then we go again to the seventh verse and it said the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Wouldn't it be funny? You want to preach and the Holy Ghost says no. You pack your bags and you want to go on an evangelistic trip and the Holy Ghost says no. Like, you're not supposed to say no, Holy Ghost. You're always supposed to say yes. But he knows where you need to be, when you need to be there. So thank God for Paul's spiritual sensitivity. Someone could have just said, no. I know the word of God. I'm just going to go. No, come on. I've always said,
And I'll say right now, you cannot use your faith to override the leadings of the Spirit. You cannot be heady and override the leadings of the Spirit. Are you getting that? All right. The baby Jesus needed to get out of Bethlehem. All right. And then Joseph, you know, was visited by an angel, and the angel said to him, get the baby out, get the mama out, run away. Joseph could have just said, no, no, no. This is the child of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has to protect him. We're not moving an inch from here. Holy Ghost must say, I mean, get away. You do what the Lord says to do. You follow. Now, once again, you have to understand His voice. And that's all we're trying to learn. The adventures of the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid to miss it. Some of us don't take steps at all. Okay, because we're too afraid to miss it. We're too afraid to make mistakes. Don't be afraid. I've missed it a couple of times. Right, like Ken Hagin used to say, right, you know, if you say you've never missed it, we need to give an altar call for liars, all right? You know, because somewhere or the other, we've all missed it, all right? Even the very big names, all right? What we just all spend more time talking about are those areas where we did well, those areas where we hit it right, all right? So because you hear more of those ones, you feel like, wow, these guys didn't make mistakes, these guys got it right. No, come on, I could tell you story after story, all right, of times where I got it wrong, times where I missed it. Do you understand that? But we don't magnify those things, okay? We talk more victory, we talk more faith where necessary, all right? For example, on learning purposes, we could say, okay, I missed it here, don't do that. I got it wrong here, don't do that. Do you understand that? So, but two things I want to say about these two men. 1 Corinthians 14, all right, and the 18th verse of 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14 and 18, Paul says, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than ye all. Could that be one major reason as to why Paul had great spiritual sensitivity? He said, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than ye all. I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than, oh my goodness, glory to God. Just go ahead and talk in tongues where you are. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Just go ahead, speak in other tongues. Speak in other tongues. Speak in other tongues. Paul said, I thank my God. I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. I thank my God. I speak in tongues more than you all. I thank my God. Just talk in tongues. Oh, just sharpen yourself right now. Oh, glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory. Yes, there's victory for us in Christ Jesus. There's victory for us. Hallelujah. Talk in tongues. Glory to God. There's victory. There's victory. No matter what things look like, there's victory for you. There's victory for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 So Paul says, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than ye all. And we know Paul to be a man of great revelation. Wow. Great, great revelation. Even Peter had to say, Brother Paul had a lot of solid stuff. All right, so we see that. But in Acts chapter 6 also, Bible already told us that things were happening in Acts 6, you know, from the first verse, all right, so, you know, they had issues with the distribution of daily food. So now, verse 2, so the 12, that's Peter and the rest of the apostles, called a meeting of all the believers, and they said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. This is Peter prioritizing now. We need to spend time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. I want you to take note of the 6th verse. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching of the word. We apostles can spend our time in prayer and in the teaching of the word. We apostles can spend our time in prayer and in the teaching of the word. So you find that Peter prioritized prayer. And then in Acts 10, we read earlier, I mean, he was waiting for food to be ready. He had gone up to pray, waited for food. And so Peter was a man of prayer. Even in Acts 3, all right, at the beautiful gate where they healed the man, we find Peter and John, all right, also, guys, hey, they were going to pray. So Peter was a man of prayer. Paul was a man of prayer. I'm asking you, you and I, this season and beyond, let's give ourselves more to prayer. 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 Oh, glory to God. You want to talk in tongues a little bit again? Just go ahead. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We need to learn to prioritize. Hallelujah. And that's what Peter was saying. We need to give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. You're there, you're a ministry gift. And then you're even there, you're cursed or a working church. Listen, most of what we do in churches right now are things also that happen at parties, all right? We sing in church, we sing in parties. We dance in church, we dance in parties. We set up chairs like ushers in church, we arrange chairs in parties. All right, we set up sound in church, set up sound in parties. We take pictures in church. So everything is same. What then makes a church different? The anointing of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The anointing of the Spirit of God. So you can't be a church worker and say, well, I'm just an ordinary. There's nothing like ordinary church worker. You're a member of the body of Christ. You're a member of the anointed one and his anointing. So the grace of God is upon you. The Spirit of life is upon you. So do your church functions with a great consciousness of the Spirit. Don't just set up and say, well, my job is just ushering. I'm just going to arrange chairs, or I'm just going to sweep the floor, and then that's my job. I'm just an ordinary usher. No, someone's going to sit and get blessed because you spoke words over those seats. You spoke words over the entire building. You spoke words. All right, yes, I know right now we do a lot of online services. Maybe you're there behind the camera. Maybe you're there with the microphone singing. Maybe you're there and just say, well, my job is... No, no, no. Well, we're spiritual people because every joint supplies. We have what we do by the Spirit. We have how we do it by the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So we need to understand the place of, you know, prioritizing prayer. You and I must be a people of prayer. Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. And we are the temple, right? We are the house now. So you and I, people of prayer, place of prayer. Glory to God. So we've looked at our, you know, two major case studies for today. And that's Peter and Paul, men that had spiritual sensitivity and were able to see instances where they made us know they gave priority to prayer. They gave attention to prayer. You and I got to do the same thing. Is that all right? Now, so there are three things we're looking at, which we did last week. Number one, creating a spiritual awareness, spiritual environment, prayer and worship, all right, and love walk, and free from strife and all the other encumbrances, all right? Number two, keep your mind renewed. Always flow the Spirit. Renew your mind by learning God's word. Always be flexible. Peter had to be flexible. If not, he was going to keep saying, no, I know what the law says. I know what the law says. All right. Because you find the Jews that persecuted Paul, all right, where those, especially of the circumcision, who said, we know people need to, now these guys are born again. And they say, we agree that people need to be born again, but they still have to go back. All right. So yet you're talking to Gentiles. We accept the fact that now they are supposed to be born again, but they need to be circumcised. So these people did not have their minds renewed. So, all right. Don't forget, I said that the level of revelation and the understanding we have influences how well we pick the instructions, all right, and the leadings of the Spirit of God. Do you understand that? So the renewal of mind helps us to flow better with God. Paul also, the Holy Ghost said, don't flow, don't go, don't move. And then he stopped back. And then I love the fact that he had a vision by night and everybody sat down over the vision and said, this is our conclusion. Isn't it interesting? The Holy Ghost showed Paul a vision, and then he saw someone say, come to Macedonia, help us. And then unlike Peter's case, in Paul's case in Acts 16, the Holy Ghost did not now say, all right, the Holy Ghost had to tell Peter, men are looking for you, go to meet them, I sent them. In Peter's case, the Holy Ghost did not say, now you have seen the vision, go to Macedonia. No. They had to sit back and like, so he said no. He said no. Then Paul sees a vision by night. Guys, what do you think? It's okay to conclude that the Holy Ghost is saying something. So by the time we study these things, all right, guys, we realize the ways the Spirit leads. In Acts chapter 15, for instance, all right, there was what is called the Jerusalem Council, all right? Then Paul had to come back to Jerusalem, Paul, you know, Barnabas, and like, see, people are bugging us a whole lot. We're preaching the gospel and guys are saying they must be circumcised, all right? And then they look through the whole matter. When James was going to speak, James said, it seems good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Seems good. Seems good. James didn't get up and say, the Lord said. He said, it seems good. So in the first episode, you know, we had talked about the fact that the book of Acts is not just the Acts of Apostles. It's actually the Acts of the Holy Ghost. So when you read through the book of Acts, you will see the moves of the Spirit, the workings of the Spirit. So James didn't stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, I sent Paul, leave him alone. James said, haven't looked at all the facts on ground. He seems good. All right, yes, we could say that James could have just gone to the scriptures and looked at the authority of you and like, listen, there are prophecies that have been fulfilled here. This is what the word said. All right. This is what the word says. God has said Gentiles are coming in. So we believe that God says, let's leave the Gentiles alone. But he said, it seems good. So there are times when you just know it seems good. All right. There are times when I see a vision and like, from all of this, this is what God is saying. But I would like to advise, Paul knew the voice of the Spirit. You are learning the voice of the Spirit. So before you draw conclusions, don't easily draw conclusions from the Lord. You could draw the wrong conclusion. All right. Kenneth Hagin told us how that he had pastored for 12 years, felt something was wrong. Then he got praying and God said, I never called you to pastor to begin with. He just assumed, I mean, the two offices that were popular back then, you're either a pastor or you're an evangelist. So he just jumped off and said, well, if I'm not a pastor, I'm sure I'm an evangelist. And he went on for the next 3 years preaching. Next 3 years. And then it was 3 years later, he realized I wasn't sent to be on the field for evangelism. God said, I called you to teach. And Jesus said to him, now you're entering your first phase. Now you're entering your, I mean, so you've come to understand. I mean, I've come to understand. You've got to understand that don't conclude for the Lord. All right. Don't conclude for him. Just know exactly what the Lord is saying. Ask him questions. Ask him as many questions as you have to. All right. Don't ask questions in doubt. That's the usual difference, or that was a difference between Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, and then Mary, the mother of Jesus. Right? She asks a question, he asks a question. You look at both questions, face value. They ask the same thing, but realize, Zechariah's asked something, and that shows a whole lot of doubt, because the angel said, we need to zip this man's mouth before he creates trouble for this process. All right? So that means doubt was brewing. Doubt was coming up. But Mary asked out of, how do I cooperate with what God is about to do? Glory to God. So I believe we're getting this. So one important thing that I want us to look at, all right, that 2 Kings chapter 3, I'll read the NLT verse 5, all right, to the 18th verse. I'll try to be quick with that. 2 Kings, all right? And something beautiful is happening here, all right, in 2 Kings. Something super, super, super beautiful. So I'm jumping to the last part, all right? And that's association. So there's the create atmospheres, all right? Renew your mind. We've seen that in the two stories we've looked at. Number three, association. The greatest person to spend time with is the Holy Ghost. The greatest person to associate with. Because no matter what men tell you, if it doesn't align with what the Spirit is telling you, you've got to go with the Holy Ghost. Please understand this. And I said earlier, I'll say it again, it bears repetition. If you have to roll with God in the very deep depths of walking with Him, you have to be willing to be misunderstood. You have to be willing for people to wonder, do you know what you're doing? You have to be willing to be named names. You have to be willing for people to say you've gone nuts. You've got to be willing to do that. All right? That comes with it. Later, they'll come back and celebrate you. But at the beginning, you have to be willing sometimes to feel like you're all alone. So in 2 Kings, all right, chapter 3, from the 5th verse, 2 Kings chapter 3, and then from verse 5, we see, all right, but after Ahab's death, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So King Joram promptly mustered the army of Israel and marched from Syria. On the way, he sent message to King Jehoshaphat of Judah. The king, all right, of Moab had rebelled against me. Will you join me in battle against him? And Joshua replied, why, of course, you and I are one. My troops are your troops, my horses are your horses. Then Joshua asked, what route shall we take? We will attack from the wilderness of Edom. Joram replied, the king of Edom and his troops join them, and all three armies travel along a roundabout route through the wilderness for 7 days, but there was no water for the men or the animals. Follow. Now we're getting to the story. These three kings are together. Follow now. Verse 10. What shall we do? The king of Israel cried out. The Lord has brought the three of us here to let the king of Moab defeat us. But Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, asked, is there no prophet of the Lord with us? So while one person sees a negative situation and he begins to panic, Jehoshaphat said, come on. There should be a word from God. There should be a word of the Lord about this. We should know or have an idea of what the Lord is saying. We should. Oh, glory to God. Spiritual sensitivity. Watch this now. Value for spiritual things. Before you panic. Oh, yes, you lost your job. Hold on. Don't say the wrong thing. Don't join in saying the negative thing. Hold on. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Take a few days. Be quiet as best as you can. Don't spread the news to people who just call you pity party. Oh, I'm so sorry. I heard you lost your job. No, hold on. There must be a word from God. Whether while you're reading the Bible, something gets quickened. You know, a friend calls to speak a word of prophecy. There is a word. And that's what I love in this story. Jehoshaphat had a value for spiritual things. All right, but King Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the Lord amongst us? If there is, can we ask the Lord what to do through him? One of King Joram's, you know, officers replied, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to be Elijah's personal assistant. I'm talking about association. Elisha is here. He used to be Elijah's personal assistant. The King James says he used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Association. Association. There's something here about association. The people you roll with. All right. He that walks with the wise will be wise. You want to go deeper in spiritual things. Have deeply spiritual people around you. They don't have to be spooky. I'm not asking you to start going after, you know, encounters. All right. I mean, many years ago back then on campus, we heard Kenny Higgins talk about, you know, how he had prayed, you know, one particular day for 5 hours, 45 minutes. And then he stepped over into the realm of the spirit. All right. And then he heard the Lord say things to him and all of that. Then you want to pray 5 hours, 45 minutes and then keep checking the time. And then it's 5 hours, 45 minutes and you're not stepping into any spirit. All right. You're still just where you are. All because you heard of Kenny Higgins' experience, you want to have the same. No, God is not boxed. Alright, so when people tell their stories, they tell their stories. You don't pick the story and say the same thing must happen to me the same way. So I love it when people talk encounters. I love when people say a whole lot of stuff, but I would like to encourage you, please, be sensitive. Don't try to copy the encounter. I remember, I mean, Ken Hagin had seen Jesus, had seen angels, Oral Roberts had seen, you know, angels and seen Jesus. I mean, even Chester Duplantis had gone up, you know, to meet with Jesus in heaven and all of that. I think it was prior to that or something. And then Kenneth Copeland was saying to the Lord, I mean, this person has seen you, that other person has seen you. I mean, when am I going to see you? And Jesus said, you walk with me by faith. If I want to appear to you, I will. You know, so Kenneth Copeland was saying to Jesus, this person has seen you, that person has seen you. When am I going to see you? And Jesus said to him, you've walked with me by faith. You've walked with me by faith. If I want to reveal myself to you, I will. If I want to give you an appearance, I will. But if you demand for it and I make it happen, you will set your faith 5 years behind. Copeland said, I'm fine. I'll walk by faith. Listen, let the Lord appear to you. Let the Lord send angels to you. There are ministers who minister powerful in the things of the Spirit. They've never seen angels. And then we find a whole lot of people in their meeting said, I saw an angel, he just stood beside me, he stood. And then the minister himself never saw an angel. But he knows the angel is there. He knows the angel is operating. Don't go seeking the encounter. Maybe you heard someone fasted for 3 days, fasted for 21 days. Oh, and then he saw angels. Or was caught up to heaven. I say, oh, I must be caught up to heaven. There's no verse in the Bible that says, thou hast to be caught up in the heavens. But there's a verse that tells you clearly, we walk by faith, not by sight. If there are other appearances that must be granted or will be granted, the Lord will show them to you. But value association. Be triggered by them. All right? Be triggered by people around. And like I said, you know, last episode, I need to say again, you could be fired up by materials. Oh, many years ago, we will play Ken Higgins tapes as younger believers. I'm praying tongues and pray for hours listening to Ken Higgins. It influenced us. It began to affect our ability to flow in the things of the Spirit. It began to influence our ability to just walk with the Lord. I mean, things, our flows in the supernatural. Gifts of the Spirit were finding expression because we related with someone through tape, through magazine, the Word of Faith magazine, through books. So you could relate with ministers, ministry gifts. You could. All right? You could. So I would like to recommend for you, please, get Kenny Higgins' book on how you can be led by the Spirit of God. Get Kenny Higgins' book. All right. Visit also Reverend Keith Moore's website, More Life Ministry, all right, or morelife.org. And that's more, M-O-O-R-E, life, L-I-F-E, all right, .org. Just go search for their free downloads. Look for Spirit-Led Life, about 20 messages. All right. Series 1, series 2, download. All right. Or you click the link in my bio or visit our own website also. All right. Larry Rexon Osinger, www.thefaithcoach.com. And then there are loads of messages that will just pray in tongues, play them, go to bed.
So you could visit our own website also, Larry Rex on Nosanya, all right, .com. Just Larry, L-A-N-R-E, Rex, R-E-X, Onasanya, O-N-A-S-A-N-Y-A.com.
There are loads of teachings there that will help you, bless you. Oh, I remember how we would play Kenny Higgins tape. We'll play morning, noon. Listen, even now, you could go to bed listening to messages. And if you have them, portable Wi-Fi speakers, you could just fill your environment with the Word of God.
But I'm still reading something. Okay, so they said there was a man, all right, Elisha was one of Elijah's associates, all right, used to be Elijah's associate. Watch this. Jehoshaphat said, yes, the Lord speaks through him. So the king of Israel, all right, King Jehoshaphat of Judah and king of Edom went to consult Elisha. Why are you come to see me? Elisha asked the king of Israel. Go to the pagan prophets of your fathers and your mothers. But the king Joram of Israel said, no, for it was the Lord who called his three kings here, only to be defeated by the king of Moab. He still had that negative thinking. This bad thing is happening. My life is horrible. Things are, no, don't say the bad stuff. Get the word from the Lord. Get the word from the Lord. Get the word from the Lord. All right. Verse 14, Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I wouldn't even bother with you, except for my respect for Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. So he realized Elisha respected Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat also had respect for spiritual things. All right. Now, 15. He says, now bring me someone who can play the harp. King James says, bring me a minstrel. Bring me someone who can play the harp. While the harp was being played, the power of the Lord came upon Elisha, and he said, this is what the Lord says. This dry valley will be filled with pools of water. You will see neither wind nor rain, says the Lord, but the valley will be filled with water. You will have plenty for yourselves and your cattle and other, it just flows into prophecy. So what does Elisha do? He creates for himself a spiritual environment. He says first, listen, King of Israel, I don't have a value for you because you don't have a value for spiritual things. You value them pagan gods. All right. So maybe you should go to your pagan gods. But because I value Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat values spiritual things, so association clicks in there. Two people that have a value for spiritual things. Then he sets an atmosphere. Get me someone to play music, to set him into the mood. So you can create an atmosphere. Create an atmosphere. Play worship music. You can, as a believer, just, your phone is filled with, there's nothing wrong. It's just secular music, but it's not disturbing me. No, you don't know what it's disturbing. You don't know the atmosphere. Music creates atmospheres. Music creates atmosphere. Music creates atmosphere. I like rap. I like Christian rap music. But there are times when I don't even want the noise from that beat. I need something serene, gentle. I want that a lot of times. And then yet again, I like even to write rap music. So, I know when I want to flow in that direction. So you can't even now toy with circular music and say, there's nothing wrong. It's just music for the soul. No, when you need to be spiritually sensitive, that soul, right, that you've been feeding with a lot of junk pictures and maybe junk movies and then junk songs, that soul will now be interfering with the signal. Then you realize that I should have given attention to spiritual things. I should. And you and I need to. You and I need to. So I said under association as I begin a roundup, you've got to flow with the Holy Ghost. Listen, I love Kenny Hagin. Please get the book also by Kenny Hagin, Tongues, all right? Beyond the Upper Room. Tongues, all right? It's a slightly big book, but you're going to love it. Tongues Beyond the Upper Room. One story I've heard from, Reverend Hagin over the years is the fact that God told him some time ago, don't stay from church to church and preach. All right, but people would prophesy in 2 years space and keep telling him, thus saith the Lord, you need to go away from church and go and have tent crusades. And people like Oral Roberts and all of them were having tent meetings. Go have a tent meeting. Go have a tent meeting. Thus saith the Lord. And he said, no, if the Lord tells me to stay from church to church, he won't. And people would stand up in a church. Thus saith the Lord, Brother Hagin. Thus saith the Lord. If he didn't know the voice of God, he would have been confused. He would have been confused. So you and I have got to learn what the Spirit is saying. Hallelujah. And that's why we're here. So please don't forget the recommendations, all right? Kenny Hagin's book, How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God. Kenny Hagin's book also, Tongues Beyond the Upper Room, Reverend Keith Moore's message.
So please go to his website, morelife.org, more, M-O-O-R-E, life, L-I, you know, F-E. And then please visit our own website. You will find a whole lot of things to bless you. Praise God. Praise God. All right. We're out of time. I will be here again next Sunday. I'll be here with you 5 to 5:45. Please, if you have questions, feel free to DM me on Instagram. You could leave messages behind. You could send an email. All right. Send an email to rex.onosia, all right, @gmail.com. I will just want us to be blessed. And yes, we're pulling through something that will be a blessing, all right, to every one of us. All right. So glory to God. Father, thank you. Thank you for the influence of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Thank you because we increase our spiritual sensitivity. Ha ha. We're blessed, blessed, and blessed. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Have a spirit-filled week. Bye.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I love you. You guide me all things, you guide me all things, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you have opened my eyes, you have opened my eyes, Holy Spirit, said Holy Spirit, somebody up and say Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit.